Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am the Zany Mystic, your host, and my name is Lance White. Tonight I'm really happy, I'm delighted to welcome Fred Burks back to the show. Fred served for many years as a language interpreter for presidents and other dignitaries. He interpreted for Bush, Clinton, Gore, Cheney, and many other top officials of the U.S. and other countries. After receiving a wealth of eye-opening information on major cover-ups from a number of respected friends and colleagues, Fred was inspired to develop the wanttoknow.info website in October 2002. Continually opening to divine guidance, Fred has dedicated himself to getting the word out about cover-ups and to inspiring others to transform ourselves and our world through love and empowerment. Excuse me. Fred has also helped develop and foster several inspiring communities and websites, including Moment of Love and the Transformation Team. Fred's deepest commitment in life is, I give all that I am into the service of all that is. So let's welcome Fred back to the show now. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here with you, Lance, and our listeners.
Oh, good.
And I wonder if we might just take a moment starting off just to welcome in the sacred energies and ask for guidance towards whatever is best for everyone, all listeners and everybody involved.
I like that. Well, if you could even do an opening meditation if you want. No, that's really nice. I like that a lot. That's great.
I'll just say in my life, I find it's really valuable. My deepest commitment in life is always to whatever is best for all beings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways I love to say that is I give all that I am into the service of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I really set that intention clearly and state it, particularly when something big is coming up, very often the magic happens.
I really like that line. I mean, it's kind of an unconscious not rule, but it's an unconscious place that I come from. But I think that what you're saying is important, that we bring intentionality and focus.
Right.
So, would you repeat what you said again when you started the show?
Sure. I'll just say I really want to invite you and me and everyone here to open up to any sacred energies that are out there, any parts of ourselves and parts of the universe that support us in moving towards what's best for everybody involved throughout our time together here.
Okay, good. I got that one. Good. I wanted to ride that wave of energy. So now I'm here.
All right. Welcome, Lance. It's great to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you. What would you like to know?
Well, I have to say, one of the things, Lance, is I read your autobiography and found it just thrilling and fascinating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's one of the things, as you know, I've been emailing you. It's like, wow, yeah, let's talk about the Kundalini energy, the sacred sexual energy, and how that has transformed our lives. And
yes.
And you might want to share your story. I think you've got some amazing things that have happened in your life about that.
Well, you know, I think that's a good idea. And so that people know what you're talking about, my first book, and my only book so far, is an autobiography, and it's called Tales of a Zany Mystic. And it came out in late in last year, written in a 9-year, and it's available at Amazon.com. And you can read a handful of reviews there to see if it's something that might interest you. Tales of a Zany Mystic.
Tales of a Zany Mystic, yeah.
And, of course, my moniker handle is Zany Mystic, so it's easy to remember. Just type in Zany Mystic, and I think you'll be able to pull it up.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating read. And just so for those who are listening, I unfortunately don't have a lot of time to read a lot of books, and I get recommended books all the time because I have a pretty big presence on the internet. And the ones that I think might be worthwhile, or like you sent yours to me, and I'll like flip through it and just see, does it grab me? And like I started reading, it's like, whoa, this is grabbing me. And it's like, and the more I went, it's like, wow, this is great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it's not often that I'll give myself that time to enjoy such a treat as reading your book.
Oh, I really appreciate that, because that was my intention, and I had a lot of fun writing it, and I tried to write it so that it would be that way. Every sentence would just draw you into the next.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope that other people check it out and see what it's all about. It's pretty racy.
It is. Yeah, that's one of the things I love. You've lived a very out there life, very different from the norm, and I got to experience things vicariously through you that I would never have get to experience in this life.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. I mean, you have done some amazing things in your life.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy, huh? Well, pretty amazing.
Yep.
Both, I mean, it's almost as if it just goes from one extreme of, the darkest dark of the shadow of life to the highest highs of the metaphysical realms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were in jail and, you know, really caught up in the whole drug scene, and yet you would, like, come out of it. And yet the thread to me that was really fascinating is that you seem to have this spiritual understanding from the time you were young.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what held you even through the deepest, darkest parts of your journey.
Yes, yes. Thank you for mentioning that, because, I do think from looking at life from this vantage point, which is just a dot on the line, that's just hardly even a nanosecond, I do think that I chose my parents and that I chose certain attributes and certain shortcomings to give me the greatest benefit for my soul's expansion during this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg, so we're kind of, all of this relates together,
right?
Because the Kundalini experience is about expanding beyond the limitations of just being a human being that's going to work and, just living a normal life. They're worlds and beyond worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So before we delve into that, you probably have a better understanding of how to describe what a Kundalini experience is as far as defining it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
Well, yeah. I'll first just mention what is Kundalini energy. Some people will know, but some won't. That
right.
Kundalini energy is, you can call it the energy of sacred sexuality, which is said to reside in the base of the spine, in the sacrum. And, of course, the word sacrum comes from sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
in fact, it is said that for most people that energy lies dormant most of their lives. It wakes up a little bit during orgasmic experiences, during sex.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, even the orgasm is focused down in that lower spine area, and it doesn't move up the spine, which is what Tantra teaches how to do, to
mm-hmm.
start moving and channeling that energy. And so, interestingly enough, people have known about Kundalini energy for thousands of years, and the caduceus, which is the symbol of health and medicine, has a rod and then has two snakes intertwined going up of it. A lot of people remember the medical sort of insignia.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
intertwined snakes going up the top. And what that actually is, that's a representation of the Kundalini energy
mm-hmm.
moving from the root, from the base, up the spine, which is the rod, and coming out the top. And it is considered to be a very transformative force
mm-hmm.
on deep levels for people's spirituality.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And as I understand it, those who are of a spiritual nature, especially in other cultures like in the Hindu cultures and the shamans in various, parts of the world that are more reclusive or who are focused on a spiritual life from the beginning of life to the end, in the attainment of higher states and reunion with the source, that's considered to be a goal, a very high state to achieve, and some of them meditate for 20, 30, 40 years and never get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been thought of as an Eastern phenomenon, even though all of our bodies have the potential for that Kundalini energy, which is there already,
mm-hmm.
to rise. And,
I'd say, interestingly enough, you're right that it definitely originated in the East, but it's being more and more recognized in the West.
Oh, absolutely.
To the point where even the DSM-4, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual used by psychiatrists and psychologists around the nation recognizes a spiritual emergency, a spiritual emergence as a part of their lexicon, so that now those who are educated to it, and a lot aren't yet, but can actually give that diagnosis to somebody who comes in who's had a kundalini experience, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that kundalini rising experience is, where actually you can lose touch with this reality, but it's not being crazy, it's because the kundalini energy has triggered some things, and it's treated very differently than other people who might be considered crazy.
Yes, yes, and another thing that I think is important to mention to the listeners is that it's entirely possible. I think because of the shifting energies of this time, the fact that the energies are shifting in an upward momentum, that people are just having these spontaneously, and they've had no spiritual discipline. And I'm trust me, there's nothing that could prepare you for a kundalini experience.
We should describe briefly what the kundalini rising experience is.
Okay, you want me to?
It's fine either way, you or me.
Oh, you go first.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, the kundalini, right? So kundalini energy, as we talk about, is everybody has it. It resides in the base of the spine, but it usually sits dormant. And occasionally, when you have deep spiritual experiences, it will sort of get ignited and move up some. But a kundalini rising experience is when that energy uncontrollably gets somehow opened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually powerful. It can be traumatic. It can be extremely loving and empowering experiences that trigger it.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to literally just flow or even shoot uncontrollably up the spine. And it feels like you're making love with the universe, or you're making love with God.
Mm-hmm.
You feel connected with everything. You see the interconnectedness, the sort of the oneness of all being.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who go through this experience first have that euphoric feeling where, like, wow, I'm just in love with everybody and everything. And I've had two full-on kundalini rising
experiences. Oh, my goodness.
And both times it was just that, wow, amazing euphoria where I was just in love with everything. I went to work one day and everybody's like, wow, Fred. And very, very, they weren't afraid of it. It was like they were attracted to it.
Of course. It's like the divine light. You're filled with, you're lumined.
Yes. And it seems like the veils fall away.
Yes, absolutely.
And but then what happens, and this is the weird part where many people end up in psychiatric institutions, is it's because it's uncontrollable. It's almost like being on a really high LSD trip for anybody who's done that.
Yeah.
But eventually what happens is it starts to trigger any blocked areas in your energy field. You know, we talk about the energy centers, the chakras.
Yep.
And we hold dense energy from wherever we have stuck places in our emotional spiritual lives. Eventually, that kundalini energy starts hitting that and stimulating it.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what happens is it starts going after your biggest, scariest fears or blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not ready for it, and you run, particularly if you run from it, you're in for a really deep, dark, scary ride that can end you up in a psychiatric institution.
Absolutely. And the other thing that to know about this experience is if you even suspect that you are having this experience, the appropriate way to run this energy is to open a portal imagine a portal in the top of your head, like a lotus flower coming out or a funnel or something that's allowing that energy to escape into the universe, the higher universe. What happens to a lot of people is they get in their head and they start, so to speak, tripping, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, and then they start trying to control it, and that can cause insanity.
Right.
So, in fact, I had a neighbor that had one, and she, because when you're having that experience, you actually shift dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
You can see things that are happening in other realms, and it's just
expands.
As real as you know, being here in this right now.
Yep.
And so she was in a psych ward for some time. I think it was about a week or two.
I have several friends that have had these experiences who ended up in psychiatric wards. I've also counseled a lot of people through them. And
oh, you have?
Yeah, and one of the things I'd say, definitely about opening up and letting the energy flow.
Yeah.
Grounding, I find, is really important,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Getting in touch with the earth and just literally imagining and feeling the earth, working in gardens, whatever you can do to ground yourself.
Yes, yes.
And I just want to say that this is a rare experience, even though it seems to be becoming more and more common. Like, I've had two in my life, and that's unusual, and most people have never had one.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a common. But I think it's becoming more common, and
yeah.
I think as people awaken, it's going to be something that's going to be triggered by many, many different things.
Yes.
For me, I was starting out taking an HIV medication called Sestiva, and one of the side effects that they say is vivid dreams. Well, what it is it crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it starts in a kind of mild LSD trip. It was raising my consciousness. And the irony of this is that you have to take it every day to live. Your life depends upon it, and so
mm-hmm.
you're increasing your consciousness on a daily basis. Only at 4 or 5 days, I was starting to see angels in the windows.
Wow.
And I was in multiple dimensions, and I was talking to beings in another realm and getting answers, and it was just, and I saw my whole life in an instant flash before me, and it might have been a prelude to the kind of experience that we have when we cross over, when we see our whole life flashing
wow.
before us. And in that moment, I felt that there was not a second, not a nanosecond, that I wasn't helped and assisted every step of the way. And it was very tangible in that moment. And, of course, now the feeling's worn off. But at the moment, I thought, it's as if we never leave the womb of spirit. And every moment we're in this cosmic safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're loved from the moment we're born until the moment we cross back over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was as clear as it, as, I mean, it was just as, I'm sure of it today, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we are. It's just that, you know, at this moment, I'm not particularly aware of it.
So tell them more about what you felt when that started kicking in.
Oh, well, my God. When that started happening, it was like, I thought, you know, no, I've done a lot of spiritual work, you know, to try to find out what it's all about, you
mm-hmm.
know, from this seminar and that seminar and esoteric schools, and, you know, I've spent a lifetime doing this kind of stuff, so I knew a little bit about it, but nothing could have prepared me for that moment. I mean, it's like...
And was it actually a moment, then, of opening?
It was a building, and then I had an actual moment when I saw my whole life in an instant.
Wow.
And then then from there, I started talking to beings from other realms, and...
So it sounds like a real, very similar to near-death experiences where they talk about this life review,
yeah.
which people experience in a moment, but in a moment they just experience everything, particularly all the emotionality that they ever experienced in their whole life.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. And the most impressive thought that kept hitting me was that nobody could possibly be prepared for this.
Mm.
I've got to warn people. If I live through this, I need to tell people that there's... You'll know when you're having one because your eyes will pop out of your head and your tongue and your jaw will drop onto the floor.
And were you afraid?
No, it was so spiritually startling.
Mm-hmm.
and it was just so profound an experience that it was like you just can't. Oh my God! You just
mm-hmm.
you know, you're speechless. You're just it's like being hit with an atomic blast, only a positive one.
Right.
Oh, it was wonderful. And then from there on, it was just, you know, one trip after another.
Yeah, it's fascinating how similar that is to the near-death experience, because that's
mm-hmm.
people that experience that, and then they start communicating with these beings in other realms.
Mm-hmm. I think if I had gone further, that I would have seen more things in this. I would have crossed into a fourth or fifth density or dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was, I was communicating with them, but I was sending out my thoughts, and then I was getting these packets or
mm-hmm.
downloads.
Downloads, right.
Yeah, and I was encouraged to ask another question, and then I would get some kind of, and I couldn't hear any words. I never heard words.
It was all downloads,
like,
yeah.
It was a whole feeling.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, okay, yes. Oh, I understand. And this went on for 4 days.
But once you get one download, back in normal reality, it's like you could write a whole book about what you just got.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's so profound, and it's like
a spiritual download.
You just have no, and it's like you just have no idea how rich and wealthy we are, and we're not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that this it makes the spiritual life so much more exciting to know that's waiting for us at any
mm-hmm.
moment if that's something that we choose to have.
Yes.
And even if it's not, you know, it's still going to be there, but we can accelerate it a little bit, I think. We can move towards that direction.
Well, I would just say, you don't want to try to have a Kundalini
no.
rising experience.
No. No.
For most people, it's quite disorienting, and my friends who've been through it and ended up in psychiatric institutions say, I can see where I got something at it, and there were times when I was literally communicating with God, but boy, I would not wish it on anybody.
Oh, no. I agree with that. In fact, I ended up in the psych ward for 7 days, and an interesting thing was I was watching, you know, videos that they have for the patients, and mm-hmm. where you're locked down.
Right.
And I would watch a video with, say, Cary Grant in it. Well, Cary Grant was known to take LSD, and he was quite an enlightened man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the video was one that I was familiar with. It was an old Cary Grant movie, and I'm a movie buff. And I started to see he was doing one-liners, looking into the camera at me and laughing or winking, and it was like a private joke.
Right. It's like he was literally communicating directly to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, and a very deep, profound things. It wasn't just, you know,
mm-hmm.
cheese is good. It was like very profound, wonderful, mystical things that just leave you shocked, you
right,
know.
Right, so if you're in normal reality and listened, you might get something, but in that reality, you realize there's a whole deeper message to what he's sharing, particularly when he winks or something. It's like,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And even the cartoons were all written like a private joke. They were they had meanings beyond meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they were all just designed for me. And I talked to a lot of people, I know you have too,
mm-hmm.
who described the same thing, that they could look at the newspaper and they'll happen to glance at something that's personalized to
right.
them.
Well,
and
people who have experienced LSD sometimes have, or some of the other mind-altering substances, have similar experiences as well.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Terrence McKenna was a big
yes.
proponent of mushrooms, and he
right.
felt that they were from another realm, an ET realm, that actually, I think he was pretty convinced that they were our progenitors, that they had actually created us.
Yeah, I read that. It's like, wow.
Terrence
was pretty out there.
And, of course, the shamans in South America and other countries, indigenous shamans, have the ayahuasca experience, which is becoming popular.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the Kogi and have their coca leaves and so on and so forth. But it's not uncommon for you know, remote tribes to use substances that do increase consciousness, and they're in a perpetual state of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And they can leave their body and see the future. They can travel the world, and you know, they can do things that we think we see them as maybe, you know, these dumb people living in the mountains simply with no electricity, but they're really way far advanced than we are.
Well, this is it. You know, the Kundalini energy is so powerful that if you become a master of it, and it really takes some real conscious spiritual work on very deep levels,
mm-hmm.
but if you reach that level, it's like you have this expanded awareness and live in this expanded reality all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, you know, kind of, you know, what they say about how much of what normal life is about seems like an illusion.
Oh,
when
yes.
you feel that the greater expansiveness of it all.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's easy for, we hear avatars and gurus and the rest, teachers throughout the ages say that this is an illusion, this is
yeah.
Maya. Well, you know, I use that a lot. I say, well, this is an illusion. But it's one thing to say it, and another thing to understand it, and then another thing to be experiencing it on other levels.
Right.
And that's when it really gets interesting.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well,
can I share my experience?
Yes, I would. Please. I can't wait to hear about it.
Sure. What happened to me was I had... I've been interested in sacred sexuality my whole life, and when I'm usually in a sexual relationship, I like to bring in the spiritual component and call in the sacred energies.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is I had had a lot of judgment of the Tantra community, and Tantra is a branch which focuses on sacred sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But my judgment was that a lot of people there came from pretty wounded backgrounds, like sexual abuse and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And basically, 1 year, I connected with this woman who, you know, helped me to see how it was. Judgment says, "Well, why don't you come to this event with me?"
Huh.
And it was a celebration of sacred sexuality being held in the San Francisco area at Harbin Hot Springs.
Ooh!
And there was like 140 people from around the world coming to teach and share about sacred sexuality.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and it was amazing. It was put on by a woman named Deborah Annapol, who's known in that field.
Wow.
And it really helped me to see, you know, what I basically saw was that, yes, many of these people actually did come from a heavy abuse background, but they had really turned it around and become incredible, wonderful, powerful beings for working through the stuff, and now we're using it in amazing ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And basically, I was just so deeply impressed, in fact, quite blown away with the level of people there, that it just really opened me up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just so you know, I was not taking any mind-altering substances.
Okay, so
and I was not didn't even have intercourse with anybody the whole time there.
Huh.
Hardly any sexuality.
Huh.
But by the final day of the conference, I was just feeling in this deep love space.
Wow.
And I had some real challenges. Like, I was so excited to be in this space that I really wanted to make some things happen with some cool people there. And I had to, like, really face my own demons during that conference. Like, okay, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to surrender. And boom, it manifested in a way I totally didn't expect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I had some magical challenges come up that I went through that expanded me more.
Wow.
And what happened is on the final day of the conference, I was walking up this beautiful dirt road, and there's these flowers along the side. I'm walking with this wonderful woman who I'd just become friends with there at the conference.
Uh-huh.
Really wonderful, amazing woman. And I went up and smelled the flowers, and the flowers were just so rich and fragrant.
Oh.
And I turned and said to this woman, her name's Carolina, I know she doesn't mind me mentioning her name.
Okay.
And she said, wow, Fred, I think you're having a Kundalini rising experience.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, what? I didn't even know what it was at the time. I was like, what's a Kundalini rising experience? She says, those flowers have no fragrance.
Oh, no.
And she said, and you're smelling this, like... And she had experienced Kundalini rising a number of times with other people.
Oh, cool.
And so thankfully, she was able to explain to me what was happening.
Oh, good.
And it was totally, I was definitely feeling that I'm connected with everything, and everything was enhanced, like these flowers, which really do have no smell on it, just smelled so rich and fragrant to me.
Wow.
But she also warned me, she said, so you need to know, right now you're feeling great, but this experience can eventually lead to some really scary stuff, and just be prepared.
Okay.
So I had this full day of just feeling euphoria, connected, love, wow, just in love with everybody and everything. And then it was the next day, the conference was over, but I stayed an extra day and was connecting with this woman, even though we weren't connecting very sexually, but just powerful spiritual connection. And having lunch with her and some friends, and suddenly, boom, something started hitting.
Uh-oh.
And literally, I just felt this being triggered. It was like, just like I said, something hit an area in one of my chakras. I was like, whoa. And I was so thankful that Carolina had warned me. And I said,
yeah.
Carolina, you know that thing you were telling about? Well, guess what? It's starting to happen.
Uh-oh.
And it was like scary. I mean, it's like, whoa, it's stirring up my deepest shit, you know?
Whoa.
And so anyway, Carolina knew what to do. She had dealt with this before.
Uh-huh.
And we literally found a quiet place where I could lay down, and we set up the sort of energetic container for me to then go in and face my deepest fears.
Oh, wow.
But see, this is what Kundalini does, is it brings up your deepest fears, as I was saying. And
yes,
it's like,
yeah.
If you run from them, usually it does not work, because they come after you, and then you end up in a psychiatric ward, like I said.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way to do it, and Carolina had kind of primed me on this, was you don't run from them, you go right into them.
Yes. Yes.
And so we set up the sacred container. I laid down on the beautiful grass there. She literally meditated and held space for me. And it was like diving into a nightmare. I mean, this is my deepest, darkest fears, and just diving in, it's like going in this whirlpool and being sucked down uncontrollably. But I knew I had to go right into it.
Yes.
And it was about 20, 30 minutes of super, super scary, like, oh my God, what's going on? But I surrendered, and I let myself be basically swallowed up by this black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, then suddenly, after, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, which felt like an eternity, of course,
yeah,
boom, I popped out on the other side, and whatever that deepest fear, I could go into it, but what it was just gone.
Whoa.
In an instant, I was just laughing and laughing at how I could believe it became so silly, and yet it was such a big, scary thing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just extremely thankful and grateful to have somebody to coach me through the experience, and was then able to move back into that euphoric state in an even more expanded way because I had burned through that that block.
Wow.
So, yeah, and for most people, the Kundalini rising experience, it lasts for days to weeks or even sometimes months. For me, at the two times I had it, both times it lasts several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the most intense period is usually the first 2 or 3 days, and then it'll kind of wave in and out.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's what I experienced both times.
There are a couple of people I've talked to who claim to have them on a daily basis, but, you know, like a mini Kundalinis, but I haven't been able to verify that.
Well, many, I mean, because there's, when you open up and you have your Kundalini energy running, you can have wonderful expanded experiences, but the sort of hallmark of a Kundalini rising experience is it's uncontrollable.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
it goes on for a long time.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and you know, just because we're presenting this, if it does happen to anyone out there, any of our listeners, Google spiritual emergence or spiritual emergency, and you'll find lots of resources.
Yes.
That can help to,
yes,
deal with this. Because if you ever have something like this, one of the reasons Lance and I are talking about this is to know some of the stuff that can come up so you don't have to end up in a psychiatric hospital.
That's right.
And like both my times, I ended up having very, very powerful uplifting experiences, even though I did have to face my own darkest fears.
Yes, and it may this experience might come about at a moment when you're with people that would have no clue or understanding about,
yes,
these matters.
Exactly.
And so,
yes,
they're seeing you go through some kind of experience that they haven't a clue about, and they're terrified.
Right.
And so then that amplifies that.
And they think you should go see a doctor, and unfortunately, most, even though it's in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual I mentioned, most people have not been trained in this. So you
can go
to a psychiatrist, and they'll put you on the wrong drugs and,
yeah,
lock you up and...
Yeah, it'll be a nasty situation.
Yeah, it's ugly and it's really scary too.
The more loving environment, I mean, of course, you can't evoke one, but if it does happen, like you said, the best thing to do is to not be afraid.
Right.
And no matter what comes up, know that you can face it and move through it, and that it's really a gift.
Right.
And that you wouldn't be having it if you weren't supposed to.
Yes, and that if you think who are the deepest spiritual friends you have in your life or allies or supports,
yes,
those are the ones you want to be in contact with. Don't go to the health care system.
Yes, absolutely.
Unless if you really get out of control, yes, it's probably better to be locked up in an institution, but if you can avoid it.
Yeah, if you can avoid it, it's best.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's powerful and amazing stuff.
Yes. And these are powerful and amazing times.
They are, and you know, seeing more and more of these kind of things happening.
Do you think that the Kundalini experience relates in any way to the coming shifts that that we're all talking about as we approach 2012?
Well, I have to tell you that I'm a bit of a skeptic on 2012.
Okay.
I believe the moment is now.
Okay.
The only time that ever exists is now.
Okay.
And humanity for millennia has been waiting for the date, and,
yeah,
it has been set many, many times.
Yeah.
In Jesus' day, Jesus was coming back before we die. It's definitely going to happen. There are people who predicted.
Yeah.
In the year 1533, all over Europe, people believe this is the year Jesus is coming back, and there's all these stories, if you go back and read the history, about crazy things that happened in the year 1533, because that was the year.
Yeah.
In the 1840s, Jesus was coming back soon. And so, to me, this is just the New Age version.
Yeah.
2012 is going to be here, and it's going to save us. It's going to be this huge shift.
Yeah.
For me, the shift is happening now. I mean, look around you. It is already well underway.
Yeah.
And so I don't focus on 2012. I say, let's focus now,
yeah,
and open up to what's here in each moment. And
well,
yes, yeah, spiritual emergence seems to be happening more and more. I feel like the shift is accelerating.
Mm-hmm. Well, as more people awaken, it seems that it's creating kind of a tipping point.
Well, and, you know, what seems to be happening is a kind of layering of consciousness on planet Earth. Whereas in the past, there was this consensus reality that 90, 95% of the people bought into.
Yeah.
And it was pretty one-dimensional as
far as how
expanded it was. And now more and more people are waking up and having various levels of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
yet living on the same planet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these, like, you and I and most of our listeners live in a different world from your average Joe out on the street.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though physically it's the same world, emotionally and spiritually, we are experiencing a very different reality.
Yes, yes.
Even though the physical world is the same.
Yes, yes, thank goodness.
Right. And I think what's happening is, you know, for those of us who are experiencing sort of what I would call expanded consciousness, we're having, most of us are having a great time, even though we have challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
And the average people are looking and going, wow, that looks really good, and they're becoming attracted.
Yeah.
And saying, well, maybe I should get interested. And then you have things like Oprah and Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
Now 20 million people doing their free online course.
Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful.
So normal people, like a friend of mine's mom who's like really conservative, is doing that course.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, of course, Wayne
Dyer,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot to bring transformational messages about as well. And there are quite a few others. I can't think of them all off the top of my head. But
you know, the exciting thing is, you know, that we talk about the shift from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
In the age of Pisces, you had a single spiritual leader like Jesus, like Buddha, like Muhammad, who then imparted all of their wisdom to the masses.
Mm.
And that's the Piscean sort of age. But the Aquarian age is a community age. There's not going to be one avatar. It's about all of us waking up as a community.
Yes.
That when
yes.
we support each other, we can help transform the consciousness of the whole
yes.
planet.
Yes, yes, I love that.
And it's inclusive.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, for me, like, I'll tell you, you know, my core challenge in my life is arrogance. I was born even as a kid, I felt like I'm better than everybody else.
Well, I think everybody feels that way.
No, there's a lot of people actually feel like, well, they may have that, but they also have this, like, I'm a terrible person, I'm really no good, and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's another form of it.
Right.
But it's just the other side of it.
So, yeah, when we... Various people do have it.
Right.
But I think it's my journey has come to the place where my most powerful teachers are everyone I meet.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah, yeah.
there's a part of me that wants to be better than everybody else, so that what I shift now is it's not that I'm any less. I am an amazing, brilliant, beautiful, shining spiritual being, and I know that everybody out there is exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really want to see and evoke that in everybody I meet, and
yeah.
that is the main tool that I am using to expand my consciousness right now.
And you do so much in that direction. I mean, didn't you start out with the Want to Know info site?
Well, I actually started out with one that was more along the spiritual lines called Global Community for All.
Oh.
And that one did not really take off.
Okay.
And then Want to Know.info was the next one. And shortly after Want to Know.info came out with Web of Love, which is another more expanded consciousness one.
And I wanted to ask you about Stephen Greer the last time, but we didn't have enough time. And there are a few others that have joined your Want to Know team. Aren't there?
Yeah, we have a number of great people.
Stephen Greer
was responsible for largely the one responsible for my awakening to all of the sort of the major manipulations and deep cover-ups on the planet that I didn't know were going on.
Wow.
So basically, a spiritual friend of mine said, Fred, you got to watch this video. It changed my life.
Hmm.
And since I really trusted him, I put in the video, and sure enough, it was 22 government and military witnesses, each given 5 minutes at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., on film, to share their experiences, personal experiences, with a major cover-up around UFOs.
Wow.
And by the time I finished watching this two-hour videotape, my jaw was on the floor, and I said, the world's not what I thought it was. And Stephen Greer is the one who put this whole thing together.
I remember hearing about that, and it was supposed to be broadcast on all the stations, and then it was either suppressed or it was...
Well, all of the major television stations were there. You can see them in this film,
yeah.
And yet it got very little. It did get some coverage, but very little compared to what you would think.
Yeah.
And they mostly poo-pooed it. And yet you had some top people there saying, here's what I saw, here's what I did around the UFO cover-up. And it's like, whoa.
Has he ever made that video available on YouTube?
It is available on the Internet. But I'll tell you, there's one that's even better. So if you want to see that, and it uses some of his work, it's called Out of the Blue.
Okay, Out of the Blue.
Let's see, and let me just, while we're talking here, Google this, because
okay.
it's we have a free version of it, and I'm just going to see if it shows.
And while you're doing that, I want to plug another one that I thought was outstanding. It's an offshoot of the movie Zeitgeist, and it's called Zeitgeist Addendum. And in that, towards the end, there's a magnificent vision called the Venus Project. And it's about changing from a monetary world to a resource-based world. And they have a vision of the future with, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like out of the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautifully and perfectly stated. I mean, he hits every point on the head of what is wrong with the society that we've been living in for so long and how we can positively change it and live lives of abundance and wealth, you know, wealth, spiritual wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called the Venus Project, and the movie is Zeitgeist Addendum. Now,
cool.
You said you're looking up the other one?
Yeah, and just, you know, I've heard about it. The old Zeitgeist I knew about, the new Zeitgeist, I hear it's better and
it is.
I've seen it is. Yes, I want to see that.
You've got to see it.
Yeah. So, Out of the Blue, it's hard to find it free on the Internet.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you a way to do it. If you Google inspiring videos,
okay,
what comes up first on Google is our website, Web of Love.
Okay.
And you just go to that page. It's called Inspiring Videos. And it's not listed on that page. But, like, if you go to any of the videos there, like the first one, Baby Laughing, I'm doing this as I'm talking to you.
Okay.
You'll have a page show up, and then on the left side it shows all of the videos that we have available. And if you click there a couple times, you'll see UFO documentary.
Okay.
And that's where you can watch Out of the Blue free, and it's amazing.
And that's off of, what's the website, weboflove.org?
Well, that's actually part of the Transformation Team website.
Oh, it is, okay. So that site is what, called what?
TransformationTeam.net.
.net. Okay, transformationteam.net.
And it's so, really designed for mystics. The whole transformation, there's a whole course there.
Yes, I was going to do it, and I got sidetracked with life.
Yeah, it's the thing that's hardest for most people is the course. It's about a 40-hour course.
Yeah.
But I could read you some of the comments from people who've gone through it, and that most people have just been really blown away. It's like, wow, even people who've done a lot of research into cover-ups and mysticism have said, you put it together in a way that's just like, whew.
Well, you know, I was moved by just the very beginning of it, and, you know, I could tell it was an outstanding program.
It's been a lot of fun and meeting some fantastic people. We've already, for instance, we had one woman from Japan connected with a guy in Australia, and now they're partners, and all sorts of wonderful stuff happening.
No.
We have a community portal. Once you finish the course, you can go on, and there's a community networking portal where people connect with each other. And, of course, all these people coming from more or less mystic spiritual background, so there's a strong resonance, and it's been really wonderful.
And I imagine there's a lot of unique and interesting information that gets shared there.
Yes.
Was there any buzz about the October 14th UFO?
Oh, huge buzz. Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were thinking it would happen, and I chimed in and said my own thing. It's like, you know, we're all waiting for that savior, but guess what? Have you heard this one? It's really great. How does it go? We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes.
I really like that saying. We are the ones we've been waiting for. If you're waiting for the mothership to save us, you're still waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting
yes.
for an external force.
Yes, exactly.
And I do believe they're out there, but this is what I wrote on the portal, and I was the minority opinion, just so you know, even among this group. I don't think that's how ETs operate. I think ETs operate using the prime directive, like in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Minimal intervention.
Yeah.
The people of the planet have to develop on their own, and most people on this planet are not ready to make that jump to, you know, acceptance of UFOs and ETs.
I think we're close. I would like to think that we're ready, but then it's the matter of civilization. We're still warring, and we're still fighting, and we're still selfish and greedy and corrupt, and you know, we do nasty things to each other. So,
well, the evidence is out there. I mean, anybody who looks seriously and starts exploring about UFOs and just do some research, you will see that there's so much powerful, strong evidence.
Overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. But many people still want, especially scientific, the scientific paradigm, and even a lot of the politicians still want to deny, no, no, it can't be true.
Well, you know, they're living in a bubble.
Well, they create their own reality by because our schools teach us that it must be third-dimensional, objective proof, verifiable, repeatable, in order for it to be real.
Exactly.
And if you go by that strict guidelines, no, you're not going to find much when you even when you research UFOs. You have
and
to let go of your beliefs.
And I imagine that they're not very happy with the quantum physicists these days, you know, with all the theories about multiple dimensions and we're multiple,
dimensional beings, yeah.
Yeah, multidimensional beings.
And the whole holographic concept, which is really...
Oh, yes, yes. Holographic realities and duplicate parallel universes. And
oh, it's quite exciting. And
it is, yeah.
The thing is, there's been great scientific research done on that, and even on remote viewing. There's this, you know, scientific remote viewing, which is, they're using scientific protocols and having amazing success.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, hopefully some of that will get pulled into the mainstream rather than being sequestered away for military purposes.
Well, you know, I think it's up to each of us. If each of us does our part to learn the things that we are drawn to on that spiritual path, we are helping to spread it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not about waiting for the government or waiting for, you know, the mothership to come and enlighten us.
Right.
If we all start inspiring and enlightening each other, it's happening. It's spreading, and we will continue to spread, and this wave of awakening that I'm seeing is just going to continue to spread and make life more fun.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be challenges, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, I love the challenges that I get now. They really, the more experience I have, the more I welcome the challenges and just walk right into them and know what's on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's almost like a synchronous red carpet rolls out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're in that flow, everything just kind of happens naturally. You're not worried about it. You don't have to plan and you don't have to control anything. It just shows up.
Well, you learn to trust the universe more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that I communicate with believe that we must do, you know, they're up on the conspiracy theory part. And
like, oh my God, we got to do something now.
Yes, yes.
Yes, to avert Armageddon or avert whatever.
We have to fight the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Because they do have plans on the table.
Oh, they do, absolutely.
I mean, there's no
they
question
want to
about
enslave
that.
Us.
But How would you address that from a spiritual perspective?
Well, I would say that the fear that people feel is what will keep them imprisoned.
Yes.
And
yes.
When we look at our own fears, and even our fears about the Illuminati doing this stuff, and transform it and say, you know what? Even if it does happen, I can live in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King and Gandhi, when they were in jail, did some of their best work.
Yeah.
They were physically imprisoned.
Yep.
With these powers that be totally against them.
Yep.
And they're in jail, completely limited, and yet they did some of their most powerful work there.
Yes.
So when you don't fear, it's like, I do believe it's possible that whole scenario will roll out and, you know, there'll be Prison Planet and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to happen, and I actually don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either.
But
if it does, you'll deal with it.
Yeah, I can roll with it, and I know I'll be an inspiration. You probably heard about Nelson Mandela. I don't know if it's true, but they say his guards had to be changed out every few months because he would win them over.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And I know that if you are a grounded presence who really has gotten it, that it's not about us and them.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the key. When you start talking about the Illuminati and those evil ones, you're talking about a them. And they are an aspect of you.
That's right.
They're an aspect of me.
That's right.
And this is the mystical path when you get that we're all somehow interconnected and it's all a part of each of us.
Yes.
Then you stop fighting it and you say, oh, well, why are they doing this?
Right.
Why am I somehow co-creating this?
Yeah.
And that's where the magic and the power is.
And that goes back to, you know, the Kundalini experience of, mm-hmm. you know, our own blockages and our own fears. When we don't face them, they remain there, and that's what controls us.
Yes.
And also, fear is a lower vibration. So when we're feeling fear, we're subject to being controlled by others, which is exactly what others would like to do.
And at the same time, let's not make fear a demon to be avoided either.
Right, right.
I have my favorite sayings posted here in my room, and one of them is, recognize fear as an invitation to growth.
Yes, that
so
like
fear
that.
Is a powerful teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
But when fear controls you, then it's a mess.
Yes.
But if you recognize it, oh, this is my dance partner, this is my teacher, then, like I said, you walk right into the fear, and wow,
yeah.
It's scary, but it's powerful.
Yes. And then part of that, like you said, is knowing that there is no other.
Yes.
There is no them, that we're all one.
Mm-hmm.
And I used an analogy with somebody today. I was saying, well, it's like, you know, each one of us is a finger on a hand and dipped into some chocolate pudding.
Right.
And we each think that, you know, we're unique and separate, and we're in the darkness, which is veiled consciousness.
Right.
So it's like one finger trying to prick another one with a pin and destroy it.
Right.
But when the hand comes out, it's all part of the same body.
Right.
You know, so you're just hurting yourself, and
yep.
we just don't see that we're in this larger body.
Right, and another metaphor of that is we're all God looking at itself through different pairs of eyes.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
You know, that we all are manifestations of the divine, and just
yeah.
each of us has a different view of it.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes. Yes, and I think that the distortions that we experience from our upbringing and imprinting and so on from birth are it's possible to work on releasing those
mm-hmm.
and be directly communicating more with another person, eye to eye, soul to soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and I think we're headed in that direction. I'm starting to see people at the store that are just.
I know, isn't
you
it
know,
great?
Bright, and sometimes I'll just start joking with them, and they're just so alive and happy, and you know, even though they're working for $9.95 an hour.
Right, well, and you know, I notice how there's a part of me, even when I'm out in the park, sometimes I wonder, oh, I have little thoughts like, oh, what's that person doing? Oh, are they judging me, or are they wanting
yeah.
somehow to hurt me? It's like, those thoughts are creating my reality.
Right, right.
And
right.
like one of my recent sort of practices is to turn that around and say, like Rob Bresny, this amazing astrologer, uh-huh. nationwide, he says, the whole universe is conspiring to shower you with blessings. And rather than imagining what people want to do bad to me, why not imagine what they want to do good to me?
That's wonderful. I love
it. You know,
it.
There's a part, you know, one of the moment of love we have is that like every person in the world has a heart.
Yeah.
And every heart has a place within it that just wants to love and be love.
Yeah.
So every person you see out there, even though they may have a part of them that wants to do whatever to you,
yeah.
A part of them also wants to love and connect with you.
Yes, yes.
And which do we choose to focus on?
That's right. And ironically, if you tap into the one that wants to connect, the other one kind of gets sidetracked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you call forth the highest in another person and the... You know, you're communicating at a higher level.
Well, and you start to dance. For me, it's a dance with the shadow and the light.
Yes.
And I don't want to repress the shadow.
Yes.
I want to welcome it. Like I said, recognize fear as an invitation to growth.
Yes.
But when we have a balance between the shadow and the light, because the shadow represents fertile soil, the hidden places where the seeds can be planted and grow into something new and unexpected.
Yes.
So if we see that, you know, both the light and the shadow are powerful allies,
yes.
find balance.
Yes, absolutely.
Then we can have even more fun and magic and miracles in our lives.
Yeah, wow. Well, that seems like a great place to kind of segue into the last couple of minutes. And
sure.
I just feel like that was a really fast hour that passed with you
mm-hmm.
again.
Well, thank you for sharing your Kundalini experience, and I really want to encourage people to read your book. It is so good. Tales of a Zany Mystic, right?
Yes. At Amazon.com.
Yeah, and it's just an exciting, really fun book to read.
And
thank
it,
you for sharing
yeah.
all of that.
Thank you. And be sure to, would you mention your website again so people can find you?
Well, people, if you're really interested in what we're talking about today, I'd say go to the Transformation Team website, transformationteam.net.
Yes, That's a great one to start at.
Yeah, and another great one is webofloveorg.
Yeah.
About how we're all interconnected through this web of love.
And just so I know, who was the astrologer that you were mentioning, Rob Bresny?
Yeah, Rob Bresny, Brezsny.
Okay.
He has a book out called Pronoia. I highly, highly recommend it.
I've heard of that.
It is awesome.
Okay, Pronoia.
So this is a guy who knows about the deep, dark cover-ups, and he hardly mentions it, but he makes allusions, and you know he knows about the deep, scary stuff going on.
All right.
But he has had Kundalini experiences, and he even goes into that a little bit. He doesn't talk about them as being Kundalini rising, but you'll recognize it.
Okay.
Where he just gets it. It's like we're all interconnected, and even though there's this craziness going on, it's all a part of the divine unfolding.
Yeah.
And so why not live as if the universe is out to conspire us with blessings?
Yeah, I like
to shower
that.
Us, because it's conspiring to shower us with blessings. That's Rob Resney's thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Well, Fred, thank you so much for coming back and being such a bright light on the show. And I just have such a good time talking to you.
Thank you, Lance. Yes, I really enjoy it. I get to have a lot of fun and feel free of sharing all the deepest stuff with you.
You're just a great person. I really admire all the work you do, and I just shower you with blessings.
Right, and I really want to honor that, you know, there may be some people listening to the show who are really into the cover-ups and say, no, we've got to expose them, and do have a website, wanttoknow.info, which is all about the cover-ups, and, you know, I think it's important information, too. And yet, if you overly focus on it, I think you can really lose out on some really fun, great stuff going on.
Yep, it's all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Fred. Well, until the next time.
All right.
We'll see you again on a Fireside Chat in the near future.
Thank you. Much love to you and to all our listeners.
Ditto. Good night.
All right, good night.